bigger, brighter, better. Enough on how wealthy you all are. The first PS starts in verse 17. If you don't have a Bible, there's some in the pews there. And 1 Timothy 6:17, command, that's a pretty strong word, command those who are rich in this present world. Now, I think I've just established that that's all of us. Those who are rich in this present world, command them. And there's a number of parts to this command. Not to be arrogant. Why would that be the first thing that Paul commands those that are rich in this present world? Don't be arrogant. Don't think you're rich because you somehow are worthy and deserving of this wealth. If you're wealthy, guess where that wealth came from? Every good and perfect gift is from the Father. So don't be arrogant about your wealth. And that's a temptation for all of us, I think. We're Americans. How many of us can be arrogant about that? We can start being proud. Now, there's a sense where that's okay, and there's a sense where it's like, wait a minute. America is only as blessed as God allows it to be blessed. That can be taken away, too. Let's look at history. How many nations have been blessed and then fallen, not to be heard of again? So the first command, not to be arrogant. And then the next command, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. He didn't probably have to add that little statement, but how many of us think, you know, we've got it, we're ready, wealth is uncertain. It doesn't really matter how big your 401k is, how much value you think you have in your home, how many vehicles you own. All of that can be lost, as in the book of Job, in a day. How many people that have been in various different countries where tsunamis have wiped out entire populations, taken everything that they had, even if they were able to get to higher ground and stay alive, their wealth is gone. Most of the world doesn't have insurance the way we have it here either. That's another sign of our wealth, is that we can even insure so that if we lose something, we can get it back. How much are we trusting as those who are rich in this present world? How much are we trusting all of the systems that we've set up to protect our wealth? Putting our hope in our stuff. Proverbs 23:5. I can find that. Proverbs 23:5 says, cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. They're very uncertain. If we're putting our hope in this world's riches, that's a problem. So the command says, don't be arrogant. Don't put your hope in wealth. And then he says, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. You know, God says to the rich people, don't trust in your riches, but trust in God so you can have riches. And he's not talking about material goods necessarily. He's not saying that material possessions are bad here. He is saying, don't trust them. Trust God. And which God are we trusting? The one that richly provides. He provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Back in chapter 4 and verse 4, he said, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Jesus Christ was God in heaven with all possessions, though he was rich, Yet for your sakes, for our sakes, he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Again, what a beautiful exchange. God wants us to be rich, and he's so desirous of all of us to be wealthy in godly riches that he sent his son. His rich son became poor so we could be rich. And Paul is asking Timothy, this young pastor, to command the wealthy people in his congregation to do these things. Don't be arrogant. Don't be proud. You didn't bring this wealth on yourself. It's fleeting. It could go away in a moment. It's uncertain. And don't put your hope in the wealth. Having wealth isn't a bad thing, but if your hope is in the wealth, that's a bad thing. That's the whole thing he was talking about back in verse 10 with this love of money thing being a root of all kinds of evil. One of those kinds of evil is arrogance. We love money. We get money. We're arrogant. Look what I did. That can be a problem. Verse 18, he continues. Another command. Command them, who's the them here? Those who are rich in the present world. Command them, and there's a few parts again. What's the first thing? To do good. He's not saying command them to give all their money to the church. He's not saying command them to spend a whole lot on other people. That comes later, but the first thing is do good. Command them to do good. That's something all of us can do, right? Command them to be rich in good deeds. He's commanding the rich people to be rich, but not in worldly possessions. Be rich in good deeds. And then he says to be generous. How many of us realize that God has commanded us to be generous? There are people that we ask to serve us. We go to a restaurant. Are we generous with our tips? You go to get your hair cut. Are you generous? You pay what you owe, of course. That would be honest. But there's a difference between honest and generous, right? We're commanded here to be good, to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous, and to be willing to share. That doesn't mean you share every time somebody walks up to you and says, I need 50 bucks. Okay? It's interesting that Pastor Mark Driscoll, I probably shared this, but somebody called him and said, I need $50. He says, well, that's nice. What a coincidence. I need $50 too. What do you need it for? Well, I'm not going to tell you. Oh, you called me and asked for something and you're not going to share why you need it. Okay. You can be willing to share and still not share. You know, use some discernment. Listen to God, Holy Spirit. Sometimes common sense helps a little. Verse 19. In this way, in what way? Well, in this way of doing good, in this way of being rich in good deeds, in this way of being generous and willing to share, in this way, those who are rich in this present world, they will lay up treasures for themselves. That sounds good, right? You're laying up treasures for yourself. Now, that's what they think they're doing if they're lovers of money, right? You try to amass as much as you can, you're laying up treasures for yourself. Well, when you die, you don't take it with you. But if you send it on ahead, they lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life, or of eternal life. We lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, God talks about. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and in verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Okay, this is the same thing Paul's telling Timothy, isn't it? He's saying, command the wealthy people, the people that are rich in this present age, command them to be generous and not put their hope in the wealth, the riches, but to store up treasures some other way by doing good deeds, by being generous, willing to share, being rich in good deeds, by doing good. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why not? Well, because the treasures on earth are uncertain and fleeting. It says, where moth and rust destroy. How many of us have had something like that happen to us? We set something aside, thought it'd be there for later, and we get it, and moths had eaten it, or it rusted, mold. There's all kinds of ways that things can fall apart. And where thieves break in and steal. You ever had something taken from you? Did it break your heart? Where was your heart? Are we trusting in things? Are we trusting in the wealth? The riches of this world? But store up for yourselves. So it says, don't store up for yourselves, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. As for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's go to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, verse 17. Just a simple little proverb. Goes right along with what Paul has written to Timothy in this short letter. He says, and this is a proverb of Solomon, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. That's one way we store up treasures in heaven. Just being kind. The way that Paul put it was to do good or to be rich in good deeds, to be generous. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. Now, if we lend something to the Lord, do you think he'll pay us back with interest? Probably not here. If he does it here, that's fine. Again, we don't trust in that. We trust God. But we're building that firm foundation for a coming age. And then it says, you know, he lends to the Lord, and he, the Lord, will reward him for what he has done. Proverbs 22, verse 9. How many of you realize I kind of enjoy Proverbs? They're fun. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. One way to be blessed is to share. One way to lay up a foundation, a firm foundation for the coming age, is to share, to be generous. Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, starting with verse 31. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Talking about eating and drinking and whatnot, clothing. Verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock. I love the way that Dr. Luke speaks to his people. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Wow. In about a week from tomorrow, there's going to be a vacation Bible school going on here. That's why the funny horse and the castle. And it's called Kingdom Rock. You know, God wants to rock his kingdom. He wants to give us the kingdom. We're more excited about holding on to our little possessions here sometimes, and we forget that we're not building that firm foundation for the coming age. Be in prayer for all of the workers and the kids, the attenders, and let's do some kingdom building through Vacation Bible School. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased, makes him happy, to give you the kingdom. The next part, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Wait a minute, I thought he's going to give us the kingdom and now we're supposed to give stuff away? Well, if you know he's going to give you the kingdom, does the rest of this stuff really matter? Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. Where no thief comes. No thief comes near, and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'd like also to look at a little short passage in Matthew. We'll go back to Matthew and chapter 7. Pretty sure that's what I wrote here. Sometimes my handwriting is pretty sloppy. 24 to 27. Yeah, that's it. And talking about a firm foundation, have we ever felt like we're not really on solid ground? The ground beneath us feels like it's just giving way. We're sinking. It's a problem. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. If we're putting into practice the words of Scripture, we're wise. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had a foundation on the rock, on Jesus. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So as we look in 1 Timothy, we're trying to lay up treasure as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that you may take hold of the life that is truly life, so that you may take hold of eternal life. Saving up for eternity instead of saving up for next week or next year or retirement. And then here comes the postscript. Verse 20, Timothy. And he comes back to something that he's talked about again and again. Guard what has been entrusted to your care. English Standard Version says, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Timothy, you've been given something. Guard it. Hold on to it. Well, in 1 Timothy 1:11, Paul talks about being entrusted with the gospel. In 2 Timothy, we haven't gotten to that, and I'm going to not go there too much, but guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So, again, we can't guard this deposit that's been entrusted to us without God's strength, without His help. In 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things you have heard from me, say in the presence of me, or heard from me, you have heard me, see, let me start over. The things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses. So Paul has said things in the presence of many witnesses. He's also, you know, directed them towards Timothy. He's telling Timothy, entrust the gospel, these things that I've shared with you, entrust them to reliable men. And what will these reliable men do with it? Well, they will also be qualified to teach others. So we're training others to train others to train others. This is a continuing thing. Did you know that we wouldn't have a church here if it hadn't been for that first generation of Christians training others to train others? We don't want it to stop here. In fact, it should be building, not shrinking. So he's got four generations of training going on there. And part of what they need to do in each generation is guard the truth. Guard what's been entrusted to them. Guard the gospel. Guard the fact that we have ultimate truth. This is not something that we rewrite. It's not something that pastors or ministers have the privilege to keep on tweaking and redoing. We've got the gospel. We've got God's word. We preach His word, the full counsel of God. And we guard it. Now, there's going to be people within the church, as was mentioned many times in this book, 1 Timothy, that are trying to come up with a different gospel. You guard against that. You don't let that happen. There's people out in the world that come up with what they call knowledge. This next section of the verse. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. A lot of people can jump on their pedestal and say, I've got new truth. I've got great knowledge. There's not a new gospel. There's one gospel. So if someone's saying that there's something different than what's in Scripture, the there isn't any God group. Or I trust in myself or my riches or knowledge or science or, you know, people can come up with all kinds of things. They say, well, this is more trustworthy, and so you can't really trust the scripture because it doesn't match my truth. Oh, wait. There's one truth. There's one true God. If something doesn't match, which one's wrong? Now, I'll be honest. There's sometimes where what's wrong is our interpretation of scripture. Sometimes what's wrong is we have not rightly divided the word of truth. We haven't understood God's word the way God wants us to understand it. Sometimes that's what's wrong. But sometimes it's so obvious that something's trying to creep into the church and change God's very words. Timothy's been instructed to guard against that. In verse 21, you're turning away from godless chatter, opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in so doing have wandered from the faith. It's easy to look at a different truth, a different gospel, a different knowledge, a different way to heaven, a different way to relationship with God, a different way to whatever we want to call it, and say that's the right way. We don't need to read scripture. We don't need to know what's in God's word. Well, when you do that, you wander away from the wisdom and the truth that you could have. You wander away from that firm foundation that we're to be building in the age to come. We end up wandering away from what would truly make us rich. In this postscript and this post-postscript, Paul's given Timothy some more instruction. And he adds what he started the book with. Grace be with you. Grace be with you. He knows that Timothy can't go and command these wealthy people to do these things. Timothy can't guard the truth. Timothy can't do anything in his own strength. Grace be with you. Let God go with you. Let God's wisdom and honor and integrity be your wisdom and honor and integrity. Don't rely on yourself. Don't rely on your wealth. Don't rely on anything except for the grace of God, because every one of us needs that. Father, thanks for your word.